So as you've gotten the picture, we're in Lent. And we've kind of explored Lent from a couple of different directions this morning. Lent is really a season for me of spiritual preparation. It's a season when we focus a little more intentionally on creating some room in our lives for Jesus and for focusing on him. So Lent is about spiritual preparation. It's about practices, different practices. As we heard in that funny little video, one of the most common ones is fasting of some sort, giving something up. Sins are great to give up. I didn't have a problem with that idea. But fasting's a really common Lenten practice. There's other ones. You might engage in a more intentional form of practice of prayer, maybe different than your normal practice of prayer over these 40 days. Really common is we get quite intentional about giving to those in need, maybe in a larger way than we normally do through the rest of the year. The point is the intentionality. It's about really trying to carve out some space in our lives and our hearts to focus on Christ, so that as we make this journey over the next 40 days, a journey that will end up with him on the cross, we are really able to engage with that and to receive that each year in a new and deeper way. That's kind of what Lent is all about. Now, for me, it's interesting because I'm fairly sure I've actually never preached here in Lent before. I can say that with some degree of certainty because at this time of year, I am usually knee-deep in preparations for our spring break mission trip to Mexico. So preaching is not even on my radar. So it's kind of fun to be here for Lent. This time of year is also about when I'm involved in something else. And this is something that most of you probably don't know anything about. I'm about to share with you a deep, dark secret of our Mexico mission trip preparations. And then you'll all know it, and it won't be a secret anymore. This is about the time of year, usually about a month before we go, when inevitably we are plunged into some sort of unforeseen trial. It comes at us out of the blue. It's different every time, but without exception, in all of the 9 years when we have made the trip, right about now we hit the bump. The thing that has the potential to derail us. 1 year it was financial. The Canadian dollar took a sudden plunge and we weren't sure if we were going to have enough money to cover our budget anymore. Another year it was some tensions between some leaders, but Simon and I worked that out, decided not to divorce, and carried on. On a few years, actually, it's been a little more serious. We've had people in leadership, myself included, who have had family members who were very sick and palliative. And each of us has had to face the choice of whether we were still going to go on the trip or not. So the challenges are quite different from time to time. The one that really helped me to understand what was going on behind all this actually happened in 2008. That year, just 4 days, before we were set to host the big fundraising dinner that we do every year, with 200 tickets sold, we lost the person who was in charge of planning the entire meal and cooking it. Sort of a key figure, 4 days out. He had an unforeseen family emergency himself, and he had to bow out of the dinner, and we had to decide whether we were going to proceed with the entire event or cancel it and return everybody's money. Well, interestingly, at that time I was actually in my New Testament studies class, and on that week I just happened to be studying this text we have before us today, the story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness. Now, those of you who know me can probably hear my voice in your heads because I do say this probably far too often, but I'm a big advocate for paying attention to timing on things. As I made my way through my studies that week, I quickly realized what we were facing. We were facing our own version of temptation. And my lessons and studies on Jesus' temptation in the wilderness and how he came to it were huge for guiding us in how to proceed through that week. Mark's recounting of Jesus' temptation is typically, for Mark, very brief. Mark does not waste a lot of words, much briefer than Matthew and Luke's versions, but it's helpful in some ways, because in his version, you can see these three elements that are really critical for us to learn from. The first is that this whole thing, this whole temptation, happens in private. It doesn't happen with large crowds around. Jesus hasn't even called any of those first disciples yet. He was on his own in the wilderness. He didn't have the pressure of anyone watching him or expecting him to perform. He didn't have really any outside distractions to speak of. This was a very private experience for him. So that's the first thing we're going to talk about. The second thing we'll look at is the timing of the whole thing. Mark's gospel makes this wonderfully clear because he is so brief. Jesus was baptized, and then we hear that immediately he went into the wilderness for that 40 days. So he has this great mountaintop, spiritual high moment, and then boom, right into the lows of that dry, desolate wilderness. And then we hear, after that time, he comes out and he embarks on the very purpose for his life, his public ministry, and the ultimately the reason he came. So there's a pattern there that's important for us to note. This kind of spiritual mountaintop high, and then often a low, and then following that, a step into your purpose. That's an important pattern. And the timing of each of those events within that pattern is very significant. So we'll look at that. The third thing we can notice is honestly the part that I find the most troubling. I confess to you, I don't like this bit. It's those words from verse 12. It says, "And the Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness." I don't like this bit at all. I don't like the idea that the Holy Spirit drives anybody anywhere. I particularly don't like the idea that the Holy Spirit drives Jesus into this very difficult time of trial. And not only does he not prevent him from having to encounter that, he seems to have a really important role in actually getting him into it in the first place. The whole thing bothers me. And I'm particularly bothered because it reminds me of some other things that don't let me off the hook. It reminds me of the beginning of Job. Remember when God seems to say it's okay for Satan to throw these huge tests at Job to try to break his faith? And one that often I scratch my head at, do you remember when Jesus said to his disciples, "Okay, boys, you get in the boat and you head across the lake, I'll meet you on the other side." And then as we read, they went straight into the eye of a life-threatening storm. He appears to have sent them into that. None of this is how I like to think that God acts with us. But you have all heard me say before that sometimes the most important lessons God has for us are in these things that make us uncomfortable. So, humbly this morning, Lord, we ask that you might reveal to each of us the lesson you have for us in this text. So let's start unpacking those three things, starting with the fact that this all happened in private. Now, we all know, temptations don't always happen in private, do they? We have our fair share that happen with an audience around us usually. And that was certainly true for Jesus. His temptations didn't stop at the end of that 40 days when he came out of the wilderness. They just changed and became much more public. But it is true that the temptations that we face when we are on our own are in some ways some of the most difficult to endure. It's just not good for us to be isolated. Jesus knows that. That's why you'll remember when he sent the disciples out, he always sent them out in groups of at least two, sometimes more. He knew that having someone there by your side to support you, to help you up when you stumble, that can be really helpful and can make all the difference in the world. But there's something more than just isolation that makes the temptations we face when we're alone particularly difficult. It's captured in a famous quote you may have heard before. These are words that were first said by John Wooden, the famous college basketball coach. He said, "The true test of a man's character is what he does when no one is watching." When we don't have the pressure of worrying about the expectations or the judgment of other people, the question stands, are we able to summon the strength to do the right thing? These private moments, they test our character. And that's exactly why the trials that come in private can be so defining for us, because they test us in the very core of who we are. Which is exactly why I think Jesus responded to these temptations by remembering what had just happened to him, what God had just done at his baptism. It would have been right there, fresh in his mind. Remember, he heard God say those words, "You are my beloved son. I am pleased with you." Those words actually gave Jesus everything he needed to face the temptations that were coming. They told him who he was, and they told him how he needed to live. He was God's beloved son. He was the one who brought deep pleasure to his father's heart. And it was with that knowledge fresh in his mind and in his heart that Jesus found the strength and the conviction to face each temptation by standing on his identity, on the promises he knew he had from God, and on his determination to continue to please his Father and to do things God's way. That was Jesus' clear focus. We don't see it as easily in Mark, but when you read particularly Matthew's version, you can see it. He focused on pleasing God each and every time. So as he faced each temptation, he grew. It's strange for us to think of it. I think we like to think of Jesus as kind of fully formed, but he grew. He grew in strength. He grew in it became convinced and stronger to do it the same way the next time. And he got to see firsthand that choosing to do things God's way, choosing to please God, is the only effective way to defeat those who oppose God's plan. Jesus got that sewn into him in his wilderness experience. And it's the same for us. Most of us can probably think of a time, maybe you have one going around in your head now, when you were tempted in private. The key for us is the same as it was for Jesus. Think about who you are and think about who you belong to. Because God has said the same words over you, "You are my beloved child." Hang on to those words and respond from them. Respond as Jesus did, in a way where you're determined to please God first. As you do that, something within you changes. Your character is formed. In the very core of your being, you become a little more solidly exactly who God created you to be. And you get to see, like Jesus did, that God's way is incredibly effective. And so the next time you face trial or temptation, it gets a little bit easier to take that step, to be determined to please God above all others, to follow and to trust in his leading. This is a process that happens throughout our lives. It's the process by which God shapes our character. He gives us these opportunities to grow. And as we see, they often come during times of trial and challenge, especially the ones that come in private. And that kind of brings us to this whole idea of the timing on this. So we've just talked about the fact that what happened to Jesus right before his baptism actually prepared him for what he was going to face in the wilderness. In that experience, Jesus received the very gift and the guidance that he needed to be able to get through that experience. Well, often, if you are facing a time of trial or challenge, it can be hard to do this, and I confess, sometimes we can't, because sometimes we're just overwhelmed. But if you can kind of press the pause button for just a moment and stop and reflect, look back over your journey with God. Because in that, he will have given you something that will have equipped you for what you're facing right now. Sometimes it's a promise he's given. Sometimes it's a spiritual gift you might have, or a human ability, or an experience like Jesus had. Oftentimes, I find, it's a person God has brought into my life. If you look back, sometimes you can see it. So in the story I shared with you earlier about our Mexico dinner nearly falling apart, you can see God gave me personally that week's lesson that we were learning on Jesus' temptation. He knew that I needed that teaching to be able to guide us through that week. And I used it. Man, did I use it. I leaned on it. But you know, it wasn't just for me. It happened for the other people who were involved. There was actually a whole group of people who came together in Phil's office at 10:30 at night on Shrove Tuesday, because that was the only time we could all get together, and we had to decide whether we were going to proceed or not. And so we prayed, and we listened, and we talked, and we brainstormed, and what we discovered as we went through that process was that each person had something to bring. They had something critical. And when we put it all together and looked at it, we realized God was showing us we were supposed to proceed. Don't cancel. Persevere. It was really, really cool. What happens before you hit these trials is very important preparation for them. And in turn, what happens through these trials, the growth that we get to experience in them, it actually prepares us for what comes next. Because trials often come right before you take a significant step of faith. Remember, Jesus emerged from the wilderness and went into his 3 years of public ministry. That timing is critical. In those 3 years, we know he wasn't alone anymore. He faced pressures to please the crowds, to do all those healings everybody wanted done. He faced pressure from his friends and followers. Jesus, why won't you be the kind of Messiah we expect you to be? And he had huge pressure from his opposition to just go away and be quiet. But because of his experience in the wilderness, he was clear. Don't bow to any of those pressures. His job was to please God. That was the effective way to fulfill his mission. If he bowed to them, his mission would have been derailed. But he didn't, because he knew. His lessons from the wilderness came at exactly the right time, and they equipped him for everything that was going to come. Well, back to our Mexico dinner story. We had lessons that we learned through that week. We learned first and foremost that we needed to come together and pray first and listen for God's leading. We learned the importance of functioning as a team of leaders, not individuals, that no one person had what it would take to fix this problem. We learned that once we had a sense of God's leading, to be determined to persevere, even if it turned out differently than we thought it was going to. And you know what? All that was great learning, and it absolutely got us through the dinner. Thank you, Lord. But it wasn't really about the dinner. Because a month later, when we were on the ground in Mexico, we actually hit a very severe crisis. There was an accident. Unforeseen, we've never had it before, and I pray we never had it again. But it did have the potential to derail the mission. Probably could have even derailed the entire future of the mission in this church. But because of the lessons we had all learned through that dinner experience, We were able to apply them. The team came together. The team led the mission when Simon and I got taken out to deal with the crisis. We prayed and we discerned and we relied on prayer. I'd like to say every day, but honestly, it was about every hour. And we had to be determined to persevere, even though things were probably going to turn out differently than we'd expected. We needed those lessons that we had gotten a month before. It was phenomenal. The timing was amazing and critical. So I'm hoping, with that understanding, maybe those words, the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, maybe they don't make us quite so uncomfortable anymore. It's true, trials and temptations are difficult. Sometimes they hurt. They're not often pleasant. And the truth is that we probably all tend to, or actually, ask God to deliver us from them. I'd like it if God would let me kind of walk around them and avoid having to go through them. And in the midst of them, I confess to you, I certainly find myself saying, why is this happening? But as we've seen, God lets us go through these times because, well, sometimes he actually even leads us into them, because they give us exactly the preparation that we are going to need, because he knows what's coming. It's through trial and temptation that God shapes our character. That's where that hard growth happens. And he gives us opportunities to grow strong in our ability to live and love like Jesus did. It's through those trials and temptations that God equips us. So in a strange way, and a wonderfully redemptive way, the struggles that we face in these times actually become great gifts of grace for us. So maybe instead of asking God to deliver us from them, maybe it would be better if we prayed for him to deliver us through them. Because in the end, our trials and our temptations are one of the key ways that God prepares each of us for what is to come. Amen.